welcome to our Fun Friday. Not so live, but kind of live. Is that how it works in the world?
Technology issues. You can't, you know, it's technology. If it won't let us, it won't let us. That's fine.
There's not much you can do about it. The nice thing is we still have the ability to see each other's faces and have a coffee together, and then people can watch it later and go from there. Oh, wait, cool. I got this cup to send love to you and your family today.
Oh, well, I got a cup with a heart on it too. Look at that.
Woo! Look at us with all the love.
I have this because I wish it was summer.
I like the pineapple the best, actually.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
I have a flamingo one as well.
Mm-hmm. So how's things in your world?
Good. So I'm just outside of Barrie, Ontario, and we're on a farm out here, middle of nowhere. So the internet's a little spotty. So if I break up a bit, that's why. But it's cold out here. Actually, we were heading down to minus three tonight, or minus five, or something like that. So it's pretty windy and chilly. And we actually had flurries today. Might have some flurries tonight.
Oh, wow.
What? In May?
Happy May. I guess it's spring like snow. I don't know.
Yeah, it's that old spring snow, you know.
Yeah, totally. Well, we're not having the best weather either. We're rainy today and overcast, but that's normal for spring, I guess.
Well, I know that we were talking about this just before we got on here. Like, you know, you guys are no strangers to flooding, of course. We know that for a fact. But now there's a lot of flooding going on up north there in Fort McMurray. It's horrible.
It's awful to see that poor community. My heart goes out to them all the time because, I mean, they're just still recovering from the big fire from a couple of years ago. So to experience this and that ice jam is just like unbelievable.
Yeah, we played up there with the Roadhammers the summer. I think they just, what year were the fires? 17, was it?
18? I want to say that, yeah.
And so we played up that summer. And they were just getting them under control, I believe. And it was just amazing to see when we flew in. It was, it was just amazing how much destruction, you know, happens with a forest fire. That's not a surprise. But flooding as well. And you guys know that all too well. And that's something that we dealt with in Nashville, I believe, in 2009. So it was, we got a taste of that as well. But it's just a nasty thing. So definitely thinking of our folks up in Grand Prairie, Fort McMurray, for sure.
Well, and just to add natural disaster on top of a worldwide pandemic is a little, I don't know if surreal would even be the right word. And I can only imagine, like, being on our emergency social services team in High River, we're preparing because we always prepare to be ready in case there's flooding that happens in our community again. And to reiterate, right now, things are looking fine, but we prepare for it. And with a pandemic on top of that, the preparation is so unbelievable, because if you did have to evacuate people and like they have up north, and then you have to keep physical distancing and like the PPE equipment required, like it's crazy. So the challenges they're having up there are even more so. So
yeah, it makes today's job harder when you know, being a firefighter or a EMS or any first responder, I mean, it's hard to begin with. When you got all that PPE on, it's restrictive and you never know. You just never know. So yeah, hats off to any of those who are up there getting on the front lines.
Caden says bye. We're obviously boring him already.
Bored.
He's like, I spent 20 minutes with you trying to make it go on live, and now I'm bored. Yeah,
that's fine. 11 years old, attention span is not the best. So
no, but it's nice to. I was talking with a friend earlier today, and I was saying that you were coming on to be my Fun Friday guest today, and we were kind of reminiscing about that one time when you were going to come down to co-host the morning show with me, and I don't remember if your car broke or your truck had to get something fixed, and so you're like, I'm not going to make it, and then listeners of the station just came and picked you up and drove you to the station, and you had this sort of surreal, slight hitchhiking experience just to come co-host. Like,
yeah, I don't recall her name, but she was wonderful. She showed up. She had a, was it the Ford Lariat? It had all the stitching in it, or it was the Dodge, one or the other. But I remember it had all the ranch. It was must have been the Ford King Ranch.
I think her name was Tammy.
Okay,
but if I'm wrong and you're watching, we apologize. you know, it's hard to keep all of the details in these things anymore.
But I have a hard time with just what happened today. But it was great. Yeah, it was like, that's country people. It's like, you know what? Yeah, no problem. I'll come pick up my truck. Literally. There you go.
Just, you're like, okay. And I remember saying, I'm like, I don't totally know them, but I don't think they're axe murderers. So you should be fine.
Got to take a chance now and then, you know. That was
if
all
we
right.
were in the States, I don't know if we would have done that, but.
Well, it depends on what state.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, there's certain states, maybe not. But no, it was great. And, you know, anytime we get to hang around Alberta, it's just good farm folk. I was born in Ontario. And then when I was probably three or something, we moved out to Camrose. And I was out there until maybe six or seven. And my first memories are of Alberta. We were out in Edberg, Bashaw area. And I remember when I was out there, everybody wore cowboy boots and hats and all that. When I came back to Ontario to go to school, I couldn't figure out why the kids at school weren't wearing hats and boots. You know, it was a great place to, you know, at least, you know, grow up for a little bit. And now we're out on a farm here in Ontario with our kids. My son's 11, my daughter's 13. So it's kind of, we're not farming the land. We rent it out, but it's farm life, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's a good way to grow up.
Yeah, I like it. It's good. Do you have any animals or anything?
Oh, yeah. We've got two dogs. We got Buddy and Luna. Luna's about four. Buddy's 2.5, three. And they're boxer mixes. Oh, Luna's sleeping there. And we have a horse farm just beside us here. So my daughter rides horses over there. And we have a couple of pet muskrats. I was able to kill one, but we haven't got the other one yet. My pet muskrats are destroying our pond. My son, actually, he got the one muskrat. He nailed it.
Yeah.
He's got the 22. And I've got my 30-30, which is kind of overkill for hunting muskrat because it's a deer gun. But, yeah. I mean, it's my gun.
You got to do what you got to do, I guess.
You got to do what I got to do.
We probably don't want to bring up the latest gun control government conversation with you, or do we?
Oh, I'm all for you know, reasonable gun control. I think it's great. Like, nobody needs a, you know, assault rifle. I don't think anybody needs a pistol and all this kind of stuff. I'm probably gonna get yelled at for that, but you know, there's nothing wrong. The thing about it is teaching gun respect and gun safety. Yeah. And it's also a thing where if you're in downtown Toronto, your views on, and you grew up there in a condo, let's say, your gun control views may be one thing. And if you grew up in Alberta on a ranch, it's going to be a different thing. And there are different lifestyles, but I don't care where you live. If firearms are part of your life, they have to be taught as something to be respected. And they have to be taught not only something to be respected as far as the fact that they can shoot and hurt you, but they have, the philosophy behind them has to be respected too. It's not just guns are cool. It's fun target practicing. That's a great time. It's a wonderful thing to do. Gun ranges are great. All these things are wonderful if they're used in the right way. But with that comes a respect for the firearm and what the firearm represents too.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't disagree with you on there. I think that if people though have an intent to use a gun in a disrespectful way, they're going to do it regardless of it's registered or not.
Yeah, I think, you know, I have differing views on this because, you know, I've been lucky enough to, you know, go to some gun ranges where they have automatic weapons and did a show for the folks over in Afghanistan for our troops. And we got to fire some pretty cool weaponry. And those things are really fun to fire and fun to use, there's Buddy, to use in the right context. But I mean, they're, you know, they're a horrible thing if used in the wrong way.
Absolutely.
But I don't know that I ever have to ever buy an AR-15. Like, I don't, why do I need that?
No, I don't know. Yeah.
But they're really cool. So maybe there's, and I don't know, I'm not a lawmaker, and maybe there's a way to make both ends meet in the middle. I don't know. But we teach our kids gun safety, gun coursing, and we teach them not just the safety of how the gun operates, but again, the safety of having a weapon in your hand. You know, we're not going out and target practicing if we're not in a good mood, or we're not, you know, we're going to respect the culture around it, and we're going to respect what it represents.
Yeah. So how long have you been on that farm now? It's been a few years, hasn't it?
I think we've had it 10 years. We built 4 years ago-ish. We're still building. I mean, it's just it's a mess in progress.
That's the way building goes usually. Like,
well, it's coming along. My wife, she's the one who designed the place. She actually drew the layout and all that stuff. Took it to an architect, and they kind of, you know, made it a 3D thing. And friends of ours got the trades involved and got everybody to build. But I'm a fairly handy guy. I can do stuff, but just because I can doesn't mean I do.
Yeah. Well, you kind of got, you're like a radio star now too, aren't you?
Oh yeah. Big radio star. I mean, I have to, you know, a good thing we had this pandemic. It gives me a break from the crowds. I love it though. I'm doing mornings on Pure Country 106, which is in Barrie, Midland, Orillia here. And my co-host Carrie Moran, she's been 20 years at this station. So she was working with several different co-hosts, Jack Latimer last, and then before that, Ted Roop. And it's funny because she always jokes that, well, I've trained, you know, three or four on-air co-hosts. I've trained them already, you know. Yep. And she jokes about that, but it's true because, and especially for me, not having been a radio person like yourself, like not knowing that world, I come to it through a different door.
Yeah. And
pretty interesting because these people went to radio school, like you went to broadcast school. You know, it's a different animal when you come to it from that. I try to make sure that they know I don't take it for granted because I don't really know what I'm doing. I entertain more than I am a radio person. But she has trained me into the ways of radio. Right? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like really, when I got on there at first, where I'm from 5:30 to 10 in the morning, and I thought, you know, I have to tell jokes for 4.5 hours, right? But that's not what it is. It's just be yourself, and you're just hosting, and you can be funny and silly, but you know, 5 hours of that gets a little old.
I was gonna say, I'm like, this woman sounds like a saint. No, I'm just kidding.
It's kind of, you know, it's a great way to be plugged into the community and all that. But boy, mornings are early. Woo-wee.
Yeah, I miss having a show 100%. And I think that's probably why I've done a lot of these Facebook connections through this, because I know when we went through the flood in our community, having that show, being able to connect into the community was really key. And so I found a different platform for that. But I miss that. I do not miss getting up when it's dark out still.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. No. And, you know, I've talked to other radio hosts who done the mornings, you know, and they've been doing it for 15, 20 years. And I go, so at what time do you get, you know, how long into it do you get used to getting up early? And they're like, you never.
You know, I think I told you that at the beginning. I was like, this will never get easier. Not ever.
Run.
I did it for 20 years also. Yeah.
It's an animal, but it's I've never been late, and I've never called in sick because I don't wanna, you know.
Yeah.
Like it's there is that to it, and it's neat because, you know, we have the studio to ourselves because of the pandemic right now. It's just Carrie and I, the rest of the shows, and everybody else is working from home. But even when, you know, the office was open, it's kind of like you get to do your work before the grown up show up, and then the grown up show up, and you go home. So
and then you're like, I'm out of here.
Kind of the ultimate job for me, but
yeah. And you say you have no experience, but I mean, even coming from your background, you understand the importance of a show and how that works. So I think you bring an interesting perspective into it also. So don't totally discredit yourself.
Oh no. I bring an interesting perspective too. And I like to, and you know what I do now more than I used to, is they've been encouraging me to share stories, road stories, writing stories, having worked with certain people over the years. And at first, it felt a little gratuitous, like, there's a song by so-and-so, and I wrote with him, and blah, blah, you know, or whatever. It just seems like, well, I know that guy.
name dropper.
Yeah. You know, just like yourself, being in this industry, you get to meet people and get to know people and have, you know, friendships of, you know, folks are on the radio. And so it's neat to tell those stories.
Well, and I think as fans of you and your music, like, we want to hear those stories. We want to know the inside track of the cool writing experience, or if you just had coffee with whatever name, or what it's like to actually be on the road. That's fascinating.
Well, yeah, it's kind of neat because there may be a story behind a song you hadn't heard, or sometimes there's stories behind songs that you think are, you know, just, you know, made up, but it's sometimes I've been able to prove that those are real. Like Joe Diffie just passed away, and I'd worked with a lot of folks in his camp. He had a publishing company with his manager and producer, Johnny Slate, and I used to write there all the time. So I know all the guys who wrote Pickup Man and all those big hits, you know. And there's a story that Johnny Slate and Danny, I forget his last name, but there were two partners, and they wrote songs through the 70s. They had big hits like Blaze of Glory for Kenny Rogers and all this stuff. And so they were, you know, the A-team in Nashville. Well, they got into some vices that maybe, you know, they made a lot of money, but those vices took away all that money, right?
Yeah.
And it turns out that they needed to survive. So what they did was they rented out a ballroom at the Opryland Hotel, and they put advertisements in trade magazines and said, for $25 a song or whatever it was, we'll bring your cassette and we'll listen to your song. We're professional songwriters. We'll critique it for you, right? So they didn't like doing this, but it was a way to make money. And in the meantime, they'd signed this young guy named Joe Diffie to a production deal. So if we get hits, we'll produce them on you and make a record. So they were listening to these songs, and they'd done it many, many times. And one day they had somebody put a cassette in. They're listening to it, and they stopped it halfway through, and they pulled out the cassette and read the name on it. They said, Andy Spooner. And they said, who's Andy Spooner? And the guy puts his hand up in the back, and Andy Spooner was a drywall guy. And he just wrote songs for fun. And they said, we're going to give everybody their money back. We're done here today. Andy, come with us. So we met with Andy, and Andy wrote, hang on. And the song that they heard, because they were looking for a song for Joe Diffie, right?
Yeah.
This is true. Home was a fishing pole and a muddy hole and a feel of a muddy road between my toes. And my footsteps carry me away, but in my mind I'm always going home. And that was it. So they found that song just by chance, and that was it. And Andy Spooner had his first number one. Joe Diffie had his first number one, and Johnny and Danny were back on the charts. And that's kind of a fairy tale story that, you know, I got to hear from the horse's mouth, and it's neat to hear those things. That's kind of the folklore that makes country music interesting, you know?
Yeah, well, because I think you hear those, they're kind of like the nuggets that are out there. And then there's the thousands of stories of working and working and working and writing and writing and writing and never getting that moment, but those fun ones. Do you have any that were like a fairy tale moment that happened to you personally?
A couple, yeah, for sure. You know, it's been a little like I get asked this a lot, like, what was your favorite show? It's like, well, kind of all of them for different reasons. What was your biggest moment, you know? And, gosh, I guess, you know, winning a Juno with the Roadhammers was pretty great. You know, having a song, remember the movie or the TV series Good Christian Bells?
Yeah.
I Feel a Sin Coming On was in that one time. And, you know, I didn't know about it. And somebody called me and said, I just heard your song. And you know, and my manager had taken care of all the paperwork and all that stuff, but nobody tells me. TV show. I'm like, are you kidding? And then we had I'm a Roadhammer was in a movie. It was in Bond Cop, Bad Cop, and things like that. Like that just kind of happened. Were really cool little things. But fairy tale stories.
Well, what was your start story? Like, how did you even begin and get your break? Like,
there's fits and starts. I actually. Started playing in local bands around here and Legions and stuff. And then I kind of didn't know what to do next. I was about 18 years old or something. And I was working a job here in town, and I saw a newspaper ad in the Toronto Sun. It said, looking for a country guitar player, need to travel immediately. And I went down on a Thursday or Friday to Toronto to audition. And they said, all right, you got the job. We leave Monday. I was like, all right, where are we going? Calgary. And I was gone for 6 months, and that was it. And then I started, I was always writing songs. I recorded a little bit of the demos and stuff before that. And then when I was on the road with them, I recorded a few songs in Nashville. And I hooked up with what turned out to be our Road Hammer producer as well, Scott Baggett, and wrote a few songs, put my own road band together and started playing clubs. And then met a guy named Ed Harris with MCA Records at the time. And Ed said, well, I can't really sign you, but I can put out a couple of your records. We'll send them out to radio. If they do well, then we'll maybe look at doing something. And so I think the song was Take It From Me, which went to 20. No, it was This Used to Be Our Town, went to number 22 on the charts. And then they signed me and we had a full record with them, and it was Born Again in Dixieland. And that was kind of the big springboard. Dixieland was one of those kind of like a fairy tale moment, because in the days before the internet, we were in Nashville. We had 3 days that we were recording, and you record your bed sessions, just your bass drums and your basic instruments. And I had sent them a bunch of demos of stuff I was going to record, and I got it approved, you know. But then we were going in for a third day, and I didn't really know what we were going to record. Had a couple of ideas, but we had a slot for another song, I think. And so we were on a conference call that evening before in Nashville, and we were talking to the office in Toronto, and I was playing songs for them, and we were just sitting around a speakerphone, you know, and I sang them Born Again in Dixieland, and I just had the first verse and a bit of the chorus, and I was kind of mush mouthing and kind of faking my way through, and they said, we love it, that's the one. And they said, is it done? And I'm like, yeah, of course it is. And lie. So we went in the next day, and I just faked my way through the second verse, and I kind of made up what the bridge would sound like, you know, you know. And then we had to come up with the lyrics after we recorded the bed session, and then I had to work really hard to get it ready to sort of talk. So I wrote it with Nisha Sheridan, and Nisha wrote Jerk, You Jerk for Kim Stockwood. Remember that song?
Oh yeah.
You jerk, you are such a jerk. Anyway.
Yeah. Angry girl song. I'm familiar with all of them. Yeah.
I always thought she was singing about me, but whatever. it's my wife's favorite song.
But, weird.
Yeah, I don't know. But and then we wrote Dixieland together. He went on to write Young for Kenny Chesney, and that was his first big Billboard number one hit. So pretty cool. I got a few stories like that from around town where I know a lot of people who just had that big break, and I was kind of there to see it, you know.
Yeah.
The first real friend I had in Nashville, and good friend to this day, is Odie Blackman. And I remember living on his sofa while I was down there, and Odie would be eating ramen noodles and, you know, working odd jobs just to pay the rent and eat. Like, I mean, he was really working hard. And it was several years later, and he got his first big cut. And it was just a little guitar demo. Like it wasn't a fancy demo to get the artist involved to really love it. It was just a guitar and vocal, him and his co-writer sitting around singing it. And it turned out to be George Strait's 50th number one hit. And that was when he released his 50 number one hits in box set. So
yeah,
his life changed overnight. And it was, at first she's gonna come on strong. Great song, eh? Like she'll love you all night long. Like it's going out of style. And she'll leave you with a smile. What a great song. And so that changed his world overnight. So I've seen a lot of those kind of things in Nashville, and it happens every day.
Yeah, interesting. What's your out of the songs you've written or performed, what's your most, the one that makes you feel the most proud?
Well, different songs for different reasons. You know, this will sound funny. Like you kind of think it's going to be a song like, something like Bridge Over Troubled Waters or something, but it's actually, I think the best song I ever wrote, I wrote with Chris of the Hammers, and it's Haulin' Ass. Cause it's so, I think it's like, I like those clever Jerry Reed goofy ones, you know,
yeah.
Haulin' Ass, I'm hauling it. It's just like, it's a 3 minute song, and it took us 2 minutes to write it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we just drank coffee and it just worked out. But I loved I still love Rocket Girl that Doc Walker recorded. I love Mud by the Hammers. I love that song. Is it just, I don't know, it just feels right. I like everything about it, the production and everything. I've got a new song called what is it called?
It's really new then, yeah.
Oh, Closer and Close. Soul to Soul. I'm sorry. Holy smokes, that took a while to get there. But, you know, it's probably my favorite song to date. I really like it.
Yeah. Would you play some of it for us? Does that put you too much on the spot? I didn't ask in advance, so.
No. Let me see if I can remember it. Golden hair falls all around me like a mystical waterfall. Feel your body call. We melt together like our candle shadows on the wall. Face to face, heart to heart, deeper than skin deep. Tangled up in the dark, one as two can be. Taking each other in with our eyes closed. Girl, we're soul to soul. Never felt this kind of magic coming from a lover's fingertips. All I know is I can't wait for another kiss. Face to face, heart to heart, deeper than skin deep. Tangled up in the dark, one as two can be. Taking each other in with our eyes closed. If so, skin. Breathe you in just like smoke. It's more than love and move with me. Yeah, I'm closer than close. Girl, we're soul to soul. Face to face, heart to heart, deeper than skin be. Tangled up in the dark, one as two can be. Taking each other in with our eyes closed. Girl, we're soul to soul. Yeah, we're soul to soul.
A bit of a sexy song, huh?
Pretty sexy song. Yeah, actually, it's kind of odd because we're supposed to be social distancing.
Soul to soul in your mind. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
A little baby making music for later. Well, I suppose, you know, like couples who are, like if it's in your own family, it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we've been cohabitating this whole time.
Yeah, so that's allowed.
I haven't got a cold this whole time. Usually I get colds all the time.
Well, there you go. There's a win for you.
There's a win, yeah.
So is that one, like, do you have that recorded and out? Is it going to come soon? Like, where are we at with this?
We haven't recorded. I have to sing it. I have to sing it, and then we have to do some overdubs, put some guitar in, and then remix it, and it'll be done, yeah.
All right. So a little bit longer.
Yeah, no, it won't be too long.
All right. Someone asked me the other day if you were still making music, and I said, yeah, I think so. Yeah. He's still alive, isn't he? Yeah.
Making up stuff that rhymes anyway, but no, it's, you know, I'm pretty slow at the process, but, you know, radio's the focus right now, but I'll get around to it. Actually, I got to go do some singing on some stuff today. So, yeah, it's just one of those things you kind of do, whether you're whether you have a record or not, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. It's cool. I like it. Well, and I appreciate you hanging out and having coffee with us this morning. We'll have to, I think we'll have to like circle back, have you share some more stories with us another morning, because that's fun.
Sure. Yeah. Anytime. Look forward to it. I always love seeing you and appreciate the hang, and always love drinking coffee. So it worked out pretty good.
It's like win, 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 win all the time. But yeah, glad to hear that you and your family are doing well and safe and all that fun stuff. So
I should mention the weareoneworld.net song as well.
Oh, I was going to say, I wanted to ask what if your hat had a meaning.
Yeah. It does. So we recorded a song called We Are One. And so I did this with a friend of mine, Jim, here in Barrie. And so we went and we thought, well, let's see if we can. We had this idea for writing a song that really spoke to what was going on at the time, just a few weeks back. And we thought, well, the world is kind of getting smaller in a lot of ways. Like the thing that's keeping us apart, like through things like this, is actually bringing us closer together. And it was the time where we were watching, you know, people sing on their balconies in Spain and Italy for their neighborhoods and stuff. And so the idea of We Are One came to mind for me. And so we wrote the song, and then we had some friends record on it, send their parts in from all over the place, from British Columbia to Nashville, LA, you know, Toronto. And we had the Hammer guys on it, Clay and Chris. And then we were thinking about getting guest vocalists on it. And I was talking to my daughter, Grace, and we were looking at New York at the time, which was the epicenter and still is to a large part. And I thought, this song needs a choir, but how are you supposed to get a choir in the middle of a lockdown?
Yeah.
So she actually found me the website contact for the Harlem Gospel Choir. And I sent an email in. I got a call back in 10 minutes from Anna Bailey, who's their manager. And we had them put their parts on the next couple of days. We put them on and put it all back together in the studio, but they recorded all their parts in isolation. And then that led to Ed Robertson of the Bare Naked Ladies jumped on, Tim Hicks, Hunter Brothers. Then we had Haley Jensen from The Voice in Australia, Jessica Falk from Sweden, and all these people from all over the world guested on it. And then we put a video together of them performing. And we did all that in 12 days, and we just released it. And it's at weareoneworld.net. We thought, well, we can raise money in different ways here. So what we're doing is we're asking people to go to the website, weareoneworld.net. The one is the numeral. You can click on the links for the Red Cross, for Global Citizen, or for the Unison Fund here in Canada, which takes care of the music community in times of crisis, which is now, of course. And the other way we're raising money is we're donating all the funds. So we have a song challenge going on social media right now. And we're asking people to take the song and make it their own, and then post it on their socials and hashtag We Are One World Song. And then we share it in our community, because the more it gets played on the radio or on the internet or shared, the more it will generate in royalties. And then we can donate that all to the causes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. We got to check that out. That's awesome. Yeah. What a cool idea.
Yeah, and the video, if you go to weareoneworld.net, just go to the link there, and the video's right there on the page. It'll just take you to the YouTube video, and like the more views it gets and the more streams on Spotify and all that stuff, the more we can pass along.
All right, well, that's easy. That's something we can do from home.
Yeah, you can do that. Watch music video.
We think we want to help and we want to do something, and we're stuck at home kind of feeling like, I don't know, I guess I'll say caged tigers, since Tiger King was a big thing there for a bit. We want to do something, but what do we do? And what does that look like? And this is something, you could listen to a song and you're making a difference. Like, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, or you can join our sign campaign, our sign challenge. You just hold up a sign. If you don't want to sing or things like that, you can just hold up a sign that says where you are, your city, town, what country you're in, and hashtag We Are One World Song. And that helps us spread the message. And then that'll turn into more plays of the song. We'll tell people, hey, you know, what's this all about? Go to our website or go to YouTube, and just raises more money.
Okay, I love that. Now, I think I want to see like signs from like communities all over the country, but like High River, here's your time. Let's do this.
High River is a challenge from me to you.
Yeah. It's,
well, thanks for helping us spread the word, and thank you very much for the coffee. Thanks for the hang.
Yeah, thank you, and have a great day. And we're going to check back in a little bit, maybe in a couple weeks or something, and see how things are going with the song and where you're at with that.
Good stuff. Thank you very much.
Cool. All right. Have an awesome day.
You too.